You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Alex Dunn and Andy Gibson with you then as we look ahead to the national hunt season, which of course is getting into full swing now, and we've got plenty of exciting prospects to look forward to over the coming weeks and indeed months. And we're going to focus down on a little bit more detail, in a little more detail, I should say, on some of those runners that Andy's particularly got his eye on this year. Mr. Gibson, where shall we start?
Well, we'll start with the horse, the mare that ran today. She's on, you know, I've just put together six, you know, I could have put together a different six, admittedly, but these are six horses that are of interest to me.
Yeah.
In the coming weeks, months, possibly.
If you are listening to this back, by the way, at a later date, today is Tuesday the 15th of October. So
okay.
When Andy says today, that's one that we saw.
Well, we saw today definitely an Oscar travel and jump extremely well at Huntingdon. Well held by Rebel Royal. You know, on the one hand, beaten eight lengths is far enough. And on the other hand, that's far enough to disguise the merit of her performance and B, ensure that she shouldn't be raised anything from the 120 mark.
Yeah.
I suspect she's a fair bit better than 120. She looked very good when she won at Warwick in November 18 and then followed up by being strongly supported in a very hot mares race at Cheltenham, at the December meeting at Cheltenham. And she came through absolutely cruising with Noel Feely on board and stopped to nothing in a way that suggested something had gone wrong. They brought her out 4 months later and she flopped again. And then, not surprisingly, she had some wind surgery. She came back off the wind surgery and won at Newton Abbott, was disqualified that day, but won really well. In the manner of a horse that probably wanted a little bit further than 2 miles one, or possibly a little bit softer ground. Last time out before today, she ran on the 28th of September at Market Raisin. She ran a really good race. She was travelling well all the way and just, once again, just lacks a turn of foot on good ground. I think she wants cut in the ground. She had good ground today, wasn't quite soft enough for her. It was stepping up to 2.5 and it was her chasing debut. She travelled beautifully, well off the pace, made eye-catching headway all the way up the home straight, wasn't beaten up, and I think the considerate way that Sean Bowen handled her on her chasing debut will stand her in good stead moving forward. And I'd be surprised if she wasn't able to pick up a couple of races at least off her such a lowly mark. She's a lot better than that.
Okay, there's definitely an Oscar then, who ran really well at Huntingdon, and she did look a natural over fences as well, didn't she?
She did. She looked really good and just lovely the way she travelled. And it was very, very similar to last time out when she finished sixth in a hot handicap hurdle. She just doesn't quicken on good ground. I'd like to see her on good to soft and possibly even soft.
Horse number one, definitely an Oscar. Mm-hmm. Horse number two.
Horse number two we'll put down as the Tom Lacey horse, the 5-year-old Sebastopol. He first caught my eye in the October meeting at Cheltenham, which obviously is a year ago coming up very soon because the Cheltenham meeting's in about 10 days' time or whatever it is. He finished six and a bit lengths behind Thomas Darby. He was the 15-8 favourite that day. He was really not really put in the race with a chance. He looked like he had a target further down the line. I'm not sure what happened to him, but we didn't see him out until the 2nd of January, so one would imagine that all had not gone perfectly. And he was then in a minor race at Ayr on soft ground, and he finished third of 12 as the 2-5 favourite. Now, since then, I know that he's had he had a significant physical problem. He's had that operated on. For the life of me, I can't remember what it is, but I did read about it the other day. He just looked to me like a horse that was was going to be extremely well handicapped based on those last two runs. I have a strong feeling that he's a lot better than that. He's got a mark of 127. And he is actually entered on Thursday at Wincanton. Now, I've absolutely no idea if the plan will be to try and win with him first time out. If it is, it is. But, you know, if he runs down the field under considerate handling, I wouldn't be put off him the next time. He's a horse that I'd probably follow over his next two or three runs. And that's the Tom Lacey-trained five-year-old Sebastopol.
Sebastopol, then, who was last seen at Ayr and may well be seen at Wincanton on the 17th of October. But even if that doesn't yield the win that we're looking for, certainly one to keep on the right side of anyway, is what Andy's saying anyway. So a Tom Lacey runner there, Sebastopol. Horse number three, please, Mr. Gibson.
The third horse, if anyone was listening the last time I spoke about this horse, they'll not be surprised to hear that I'll put Canardia on the list. Dermot McLaughlin trains him in Ireland. He's a seven-year-old. I think I'm right in saying that Barry Geraghty bred him. I don't think I'm wrong about that. I think that's right.
Okay.
He's another one that ran at the October meeting at Cheltenham last year. He won a novice hurdle on I think it was on the opening day of the 2 days. He followed up, by not running until the Cheltenham Festival. Now, this is where he really caught my eye, because
that wouldn't be a normal preparation, would it?
No, you'd assume that what happened was they kept him away from winter ground.
Yeah.
And then when he was ready to run, the ground was simply unsuitable. The ground was far from perfect at Cheltenham because it was soft. It wouldn't have been the ground he would have wanted. But obviously, with it being the big target for the season, they've obviously said, well, look, let's let him take his chance. If that had been a prep run, I'm sure he wouldn't have run. Now, what he did that day, if we look at the first four home that finished ahead of him, first of all, Wicklow Brave came second. He came wide and late. William Henry won the race by going even wider than Wicklow Brave, and even later he hugged the outside rail. Ballyandy travelled middle to high all the way round, and Brio Conti travelled on the wide outside as well, turning off the bend in particular. Whereas Canardia travelled on the inside throughout, including from the second last hurdle to the last and from the last towards the finish. He was the only horse from memory at the Cheltenham Festival that took the inside route throughout and yet still managed to finish close up. Mm-hmm. For me, it was the best handicap performance of the Cheltenham Festival, Canardia. He's then followed that up by, he went to Aintree. One could argue that he was given a lot to do. I don't think that would be too unfair. I would have thought, I'm guessing, but I would have thought Barry Geraghty would have probably got off him and thought that he probably should have had him closer to the pace. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, it was still another excellent run. And then he finished off his season. So he's ran at all three festivals. He finished off his season at Punchestown in a handicap hurdle, a Grade B race, and never got a chance, never had a run. It was a very big field. I can't remember how many. I think it was about 25 runners on the day. Let me just see.
It was indeed.
Was it 25?
Yeah. Bang on.
Well, that was a good guess. Mm. Okay, 25 runners on the day. He's finished 8th or 9th or something.
7th. 7th, so close.
In fact, he finished 7th and he was a fifth of the odds, first 6th, and that's how I backed him. So I backed him to finish in the first 6 and he just missed the 6th place. But he finished, he was travelling beautifully throughout, finished full of running, was all made up with nowhere to go, as they say, on the rail, from the off, remained in the same position throughout, never had anywhere to go. Sean Flanagan wasn't hard on him. And he was just a very, very obvious eye catcher. He's a well handicapped horse off 143, and I imagine that they're going to have the Cheltenham Festival in mind again for him.
Yeah.
Last year they were in two minds as whether to go for the Coral Cup or the Martin Pipe. They headed for the Coral Cup. I have no idea what they'll do this year off 143, but he's a well handicapped horse. He wants good ground. 2.5 miles, a big field of handicappers, and he's a well handicapped horse. And also, if you look at his last four runs, in fact, his only four runs of the main season last season, every one of them was a really strong positive run.
Yeah,
and the quality of his performances have been hidden by running on the wrong side of the track at Cheltenham, probably being given a little bit too much to do at Aintree, and then being all dressed up with nowhere to go at Punchestown.
Mm.
Very, very unlucky season he had.
Okay. That is Canardia. So we've had definitely an Oscar, Sebastopol and Canardia so far. No, so far. Now for number four. Easy for me to say.
Yeah. So number four, I'm going with the Twister horse, the Nigel Twiston Davis horse, Al Dancer.
Okay.
And a number of reasons. First of all, when he won the rerouted Betfair hurdle at Ascot on the 16th of Feb, he travelled round the inside for most of that contest, if not all of that contest, and still won extremely easily off 141. Now, at that meeting, the inside was not the place to be. You wanted to be on the outside, particularly when you're coming into the home straight. So I think he won despite the trip that he endured.
Mm.
Previously, he had won extremely well at Cheltenham at the December meeting. And on that day, some of the time comparisons I did with him and Elixir de Nuts meant that he had an awful lot in hand of Elixir de Nuts, who was one of the stronger fancies for the Supreme Hurdle before getting injured. So I felt going into the festival he was top class. Clearly something was amiss at the festival because he was beaten too far out for it to be true. And I've not heard anything. I don't know if it's in public domain that there was something wrong with him. I've absolutely no idea, but I'd be very, very confident that something was amiss with him that day. I felt beforehand there was a chance that he would be very high class and he might even get a chance in a handicap hurdle off 151. One of the better ones, perhaps that early Ascot one, the one in December at Ascot. Yeah. You know, certainly if he was mine, I'd be looking at going for a good quality handicap hurdle with big prize money, and Ascot's one of them. I think he can win a big race this season. I think he's a very high quality hurdler. I mean, it's possible, I suppose, they might be going chasing with him. I've not read that.
Mm-hmm.
If he were mine, I'd want to give him one more season over hurdles, because I think that he could be one of the very best hurdlers around, and I think he's probably well handicapped off 151.
Al Dancer then at number four. Have we got five or have we got six?
We've got six.
Oh, right. Number five then.
Number five is the Dan Skelton trained Spirit of the Games. Now, he ran in a very, very good race at Cheltenham on trials day in the January. And let me just get
that. Was
that
behind Kildisart?
That was behind Kildisart, yeah. And Highway 101. And when you look at that race, when my computer allows me to, Kildisart came out and obviously did an awful lot of good things afterwards, including winning at Aintree when stepped up in trip.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not put off Kildisart in any way. It's just that Kildisart is far more obvious and therefore is going to be... I don't think Kildisart's in much danger of being a bigger price than he should be the next time we see him, or the next couple of times, whereas Spirit of the Games might be. He was strongly supported that day. He was giving weight away to Kildisart, who then ran well in the JLT and then won at Aintree. I did some timings of the races that day, and the other race that was won by... the Nick Williams horse, Sire
de Lac.
Yeah, that's the one. And the Henderson horse came second, beginning with A, that had won at Ascot. We're out of season. That's why I'm forgetting the names at this time. It's quite difficult. But anyway, those two horses, I did some really interesting time comparisons that day. And Highway 101 came out brilliantly against them. You know, like, at least they're equal, but giving lots of weight away, certainly to Sire de Lac. Who then the two of those two horses then went on to run 1-2 at the festival in the Brown Advisory, so that is very good form, both on form and also via the time comparisons.
Janika, that's the other one,
right?
Yes,
yeah, okay, Janika or Janika,
yeah.
I'll say Janneke because that's the name of my son's girlfriend.
Okay, there you go.
So both on performance and on the clock, that was a really good effort from all three of the first three home. Spirit of the Games followed that run up by going to the Cheltenham Festival, running in the Brown Advisory, the aforementioned, where Ciro Delac and Janneke ran 1-2. Spirit of the Games finished a close third. But Spirit of the Games was the horse to take out of that race. He was so far behind with nowhere to go, with two or three to jump. He made up an unbelievable amount of ground, and he was the worthy winner of that race off 1-4-7. He's only won, I think he's 1-50 now. I'll check that in a second. But that was a tremendous run. It was such a good run that they decided to go for the Grade 1, the Manifesto Novices Chase at Aintree. Whether he was out of his depth or whether, you know, he just simply, hit a fence, and it was 5 out he hit, and he'd made an earlier mistake. You know, whether he just had enough for the season, I have no idea whatsoever. But in terms of his rating, 150, I think he's got a very good chance of winning a decent handicap. You know, with Dan Skelton, that he'll have a certain level of prize money in mind.
Yeah.
And he'll want to win the biggest pot he can win with this horse. He's a horse that remains ahead of the handicapper. And he's also, you know, he's only had 5 chases. He's likely to continue to improve. He ran no race last time out, so you could argue that he's had 4 races. He ran no race at Newbury on his second start. But the other 3 runs have been really, really good standard runs.
Okay.
He's very interesting.
Spirit of the Games then for Dan Skelton is horse number 5. Who trains horse number 6?
Horse number 6 is the horse that came second when Spirit of the Games came third, and that's Highway 101, trained by Chris Gordon.
Okay.
So on that day at Cheltenham in the January, he matched the time of Ciro Delac and was carrying, off the top of my head, something like £17 more. They're now rated something very close to each other. And again, I can't remember what. You can do the maths yourselves. Mm-hmm. On that one performance, he looked like a horse that was a long way ahead of the handicapper. It actually looked like he was tying up from 2 out to the line, but he was actually quicker than Ciro Delac from 2 out to the line that day. So I think that was quite misleading and actually pointed to Kildisart running an awful lot better than it looked, which then was supported by Kildisart winning at Aintree when stepped up in trip. Since then, he ran at Cheltenham at the festival, but I know that things hadn't gone well for him leading up to the festival, and he was far from 100%. And clearly, you could see that Tom Cannon was under instruction. Look, let's run him round. If you're headed and you look like you're beaten at the top of the hill, don't persevere. Don't give him a hard time. Let him come home in his own time. And that's what he did. He then went to Cheltenham and came third to Mr. Whittaker, and at 1 or 2 fences jumped in a manner that would strongly suggest he would have preferred maybe good to soft ground rather than that quicker ground. I think the ground was too quick for him that day. We didn't see him again that season, but he's come out this season, ran in a handicap hurdle on the 5th of October at Fontwell, ran perfectly well off 140, leading for most of the way. And I'm guessing that he will now head for, and I am guessing that he'll now head for the 2.5 mile, the big 2.5 mile race at the November meeting at Cheltenham. And he'll be a big price for that race. If the ground is good, tending towards good to soft, that would suit him best. But you look at that race, you've got the December Gold Cup at the December meeting at Cheltenham. You've got a 2.5 mile race at the on the New Year's Day meeting at Cheltenham. You've got the Trials Day 2.5 mile race. And then you've got the Brown Advisory at the Cheltenham Festival itself. He's got 4 or 5 chances of showing that run on Trials Day last year, earlier this year, should I say, on the 26th of January, was no fluke. He's a beautiful horse. I don't think he needs the lead, but he will be ridden prominently. If something goes off too fast for him, I'm sure that Tom Cannon would have no problem sitting in just behind. He's a lovely horse. You could argue that you're hanging your hat on that one run, but it was a particularly good run, and that form is worth following. And I know he wasn't right at Cheltenham for the festival, so there's not a lot in there to forgive him for. I mean, you know, he ran behind Mr. Whittaker, which is perfectly good form, probably on ground too fast for him. He's an interesting horse. So, yes, he's the sixth horse on the list.
So we've got Definitely an Oscar, Sebastopol, Canardia, Al Dancer, Spirit of the Games, and Highway 101.
And you can see them. You can. I'll probably write up on those horses on the CheltenhamTrail.com. It obviously costs money to subscribe, but there's also be plenty of things that are free throughout the season, including things like, you know, I'll put those horses up and talk about them, and they'll be up for free. I'll be doing various trainer interviews. Hopefully, in the coming 3 or 4 weeks, they'll be on the site for free. So there'll be plenty there for people to watch, to view for free if they don't wish to participate financially, which is absolutely fine.
Lovely stuff. Just one more time, the name of that website?
TheCheltenhamTrail.com.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.